The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Just going to put this one out there. It's from Ashley O'Carroll. You know, she works in the travel industry, so you could say she would say that, wouldn't she? But she said, we had our busiest week of the year so far this week. The Brits and Scandinavians are way ahead of us. Availability is so tight across Europe. Cancellation policies at resorts are very flexible. And Fergus is on to say, hi, Brendan. Never realised you had to book a flight to go on holiday. That's from Fergus in the Burn. Very clever, Fergus. Fergus, when the hordes start coming down now to the Burn in the summer, you'll be wishing there were a few flights to take some of them away somewhere else. Anyway, we often talk about food around this time on a Saturday and or talk to a chef, and we kind of ostensibly talk about food, but usually we're actually talking about happiness, I think. So today we're going to kind of talk about happiness, but actually we're going to be talking about food. So Professor Brendan Kelly, consultant psychiatrist and professor of psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And your recent book is The Science of Happiness. And I think it's fair to say for all of us and for you personally as well, food is central to happiness, isn't it?
Well, food is central to life. And, you know, I mean, we want to be happy. Food makes us happy in the short term, for sure. I think we all know that. We all have foods we use when we're sad to make us happy.
Yeah, is that okay? Like with the rain the last few days now, I was just like non-stop carbs, sugar, all that. Is that okay to take that little short-term mood boost?
That's absolutely fine, Brendan. We need to cut ourselves a lot of slack here. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There are cyber attacks going on. The weather has turned. All kinds of bad things are happening, and we're going to reach for food. We have to acknowledge that it's not always bad. And maybe that's my first big message today to listeners, which is that it's the weekend. And if you're reaching for that little bit more of whatever it is you fancy in terms of food, fire ahead. It will make you feel better, at least for now.
Okay. And so tell me first, maybe then, how does a happiness expert eat so that we can see what your secret is?
Well, you know, food and happiness are closely linked. And the first piece of advice is we do need to have a mixed diet, a balanced diet that's fairly healthy. Now, people who have deviated off to extreme diets, you know, caveman diets or cave person diets or that, you know, this tends not to produce happiness. That's the first thing. The extreme diets don't work. You only eat like a caveman if you live like a caveman, and very few of us do. In terms of food, we now know that there are certain foods particularly good for what we call brain health. This is that will keep you mentally well, keep you mentally flexible, and the same way as you might try to be physically healthy, you know, staying mentally well. So what foods are these? On top of your balanced diet, it's good to keep an eye on things like tryptophan is one of the proteins we need. You'll find that in chicken and tuna. You'll find it in peanuts, milk and cheese. And this helps us make serotonin, which is an important brain chemical, and it helps to keep us happy. So that's one of the things. Another one of the good ones.
And listen, I didn't know this, but serotonin is a big player. We know it from, you know, Prozac and the selected serotonin, the happiness kind of molecule or whatever. Yeah. It's a big player in the gut as well.
Yes. Well, we make 95% of our serotonin in our gut. And in our gut, we have 100 million nerve cells. So the nerve cells obviously connect to the brain. They're intimately linked with mood. So it's incorrect to think of our gut as being separate from our brain. It really is part of the same thing. And I'm always amused that people seem to see their head, their brain, their mental world as entirely separate to their physical world. But it's like we have a little brain working our way down there in our gut. We need to nourish it, and it will nourish our bigger brain. Now, our brain itself has 86 billion nerve cells in it. So it's an extraordinary thing, but it does need serotonin. It also needs B12 in order to make brain cells. You're going to find that in fish and, of all things, liver, beef and eggs. So these things are good for brain health as well. And
you're not pushing too much vegetarianism then?
No, vegetarianism is good as part of your overall balance, but it's not necessarily healthy or necessarily 100%. You know, even say the Dalai Lama, Buddhist leader and proponent of vegetarianism, eats meat once or twice a week because it is necessary for health and necessary for well-being. So it's about having a bit of everything and including some things you like.
Okay. In terms of then the, we talked about, you know, carbs and sugar and everything and our mood and stuff. What if we weren't to be taking that shortcut, right? If we want food that will help our mood in general, what kind of stuff would you be recommending?
Well, obviously a balanced diet, and what the way to steer yourself towards foods that are good for your mood are to realize we attach huge emotion to food.
Yeah.
So for example, if you were to ask me my favorite happy making meal,
yeah,
that would certainly be something called paneer korma. It's an Indian dish and it's made either with or by my son. Okay. And
okay.
It's good.
So now we do demand that everyone who comes in give us something for the weekend. So this is your recipe for happiness. Yes.
This is it. Okay. Paneer korma followed by chocolate brownies, ideally made by my daughter, but you're not getting those. I am.
Okay.
So the paneer korma is an Indian dish. Paneer is a form of cottage cheese from India. And the korma includes lots of really good things like ginger, which has antioxidants and they're good for combating the effects of stress. Garlic, good for blood pressure and cholesterol. Cardamom, also good for antioxidants. And almonds, a really good source of magnesium. So you just, the cheese is fine as it is. You can fry it if you like. You mix it in with the korma paste. You have some rice, some naan bread. And most of all, you know, it's the cooking often that brings much of the happiness. And if you make it,
yes,
participatory, make it a family activity and really savor it from start to finish, you know, from buying the stuff, doing the cooking, eating, and then the chocolate brownies afterward will just make you entirely
so
happy.
So it's the whole ritual of having that time with your son and then the family presumably sitting down together. And because I think a lot of people had let that go, but I think a lot of us we have in our house brought it back in the course the pandemic, that we all make sure we sit down for a meal together every day.
Look, we attach huge emotion to food. Commonly, that's guilt. And we need to replace that by something positive, something good, something participatory.
Yeah. And that's your point, again, about the diets and the restrictive stuff and everything. It's creating a negative narrative around food. A lot of people now seem to be taking on that time restricted eating, which I think for a lot of people involves not eating breakfast. You're not a fan of skipping breakfast, are you?
Well, I certainly am not. I wake at 6 a.m. I'm absolutely awake, fully rushed downstairs, and without food, I would probably keel over, if I'm honest. No, breakfast is an important meal. It's important to tell our bodies we are now awake. The day has started. We are eating something. It's good to stand outside for a little few minutes in the morning because this helps with sleep at night. It gives our body a very clear message. We're up, we're eating, we're standing outside. So when bedtime comes, your body is more, you know, more ready to go to sleep. So it's part of the natural human cycle. And it's important to have something significant for breakfast. What that can be varies hugely. I'm a fan of porridge, but I know a lot of people aren't. But it's important to have something in the morning for sure.
Okay, listen, I got a lot more out of that than I often get out of the chefs. Thank you very much. And you've actually given us the recipes, have you, to put up on the website?
Yep.
Have you written them down? And the chocolate brownies as well?
Yes, the chocolate brownies. But I will add that there are secret ingredients in the chocolate brownies that not even my daughter tells me.
Okay, that's like when you ask somebody's mother, how do you make your brown bread? You'll get 70% of the ingredients the first time and then it'll be, oh, did you not add in such a thing? And eventually you get it. Okay, Professor Brendan Kelly, thank you very much for that.